Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend, Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen is back in the saddle.
I know our faithful listeners wondering the last couple of weeks, where's Dave? Well, Dave had a little issue to take care of, but his health is back. He's totally restored, and he's stronger than ever. Dave, it sure is good to see you back. We have an interesting program lined up for our listeners today. We're changing our format a little bit. You know, Dave and I always like to switch things off so we don't get stale. You don't want to hear the same kind of program week after week. So we're going to have a few little programs for you that kind of makes you stop and think a little bit, all based on human personality. And that's a fascinating subject. In fact, Dave, do you want me to go first, Dave?
That'd be good.
Let me go first.
You and me, yeah. We're going to take time to tell a little story.
Exactly.
Maybe we have time for two stories, three stories.
Whatever.
We came up with that. I went out and I began to search through some of my stuff to say, I need to find a good story because Giff will have his stories and they'll be outstanding, and I need to know what I'm doing.
Yes.
So
you found some good ones,
Dave? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I can see if I can come up with something that will be as good as what you're going to say.
All right.
All right, you're first.
All right. Hey, here we go. Put your seatbelt on. When our time is up, our engineer will wave the flag and we'll just have to quit. That's how we'll do it. How's that? Hey, I want to share a little story, if I might. And I think it's a fascinating little story about human personality. It's a story that goes back to old Ireland in the old days. When there was a king on the throne, remember those days? And the king had no heirs. There was nobody to follow him. There he was, and he was deciding what he had to do about what happens when he's gone. Who's going to follow up? So the king sent out a notice to all of his realm, all of the people that were around. He says, I want you to apply. Apply for this position. Apply and we'll do an interview. And we'll see who's going to be the successor to my throne. He said, there are two rules that I want you to follow. Rule number one is you must be a God-loving person. And number two, you must love your fellow human beings. Those are the two pieces of criteria that I'm going to use to follow, to make a selection and see who's going to follow me on the throne. So, those young men was about to follow up on this request. He read about it, and he decided that he just had to apply for this job. He had nothing, so he had nothing to lose. And he loved his neighbors, and he was a God-loving man, so he thought he was just as eligible as anybody else. But there was one thing that stopped him from jumping up right immediately and going and applying. He was poor. He had no clothes that were suitable for him to approach a king for an interview. So the young man began begging here and begging there and doing odd jobs. And he was just trying to get enough money to buy some clothes that would make him suitable. Well, properly attired, he finally was able to raise some money. And then he set out on his journey to go meet the king so he could set up an appointment to see if maybe he couldn't follow him. But on his trip, he came upon a poor beggar by the roadside. The beggar was dressed in tattered rags and pleaded for help. I'm hungry, he said, and I'm cold. Please, please, please help me, please. The young man was so touched by the beggar's plead that he took off his new clothes and exchanged them with the tattered rags of the beggar. And he also gave him all the food that he had. He had provisions to hold him to the trip to the king and then back home again. And he gave them also to the beggar. Now, somewhat hesitant, he continued on his way to the castle. And, he, of course, he was wearing dressed in these rags of the beggar. And he had no provisions for his walk back home. When he arrived, one of the king's attendants met him at the great hall. After a brief break to, clean off some of the grime from his trip, he was finally admitted to the throne room where the king was waiting. The young man bowed in reverence. Then he looked up, and he gasped in astonishment. "You! It's you!" he said. "You are the beggar by the road." "Yes," the king replied with a smile, "I was that beggar." But you're a beggar." No, you were a real king all along." "Why?" he managed to stammer out after gaining some of his composure. "Why would you do that?" "Well, because I had to find out if you or any of the other young men really love God and you loved your fellow human beings. If we met as we are now, I really would have never known if you cared enough about others. So I used this ploy. I have discovered that if you do sincerely love God and others, you will be the next king. You will be my successor. You will inherit my kingdom." That's a beautiful story, isn't it? You love one another. It's based on scripture found in John chapter 13. If you read that in these last couple of verses, you'll find a similar parallel indicating that all of us need to love the Lord and we need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Those are the commandments that Jesus gave us. I like that little story. You like that one, David?
Yep, I did.
I think it's quite touching, quite meaningful.
Wonderful story.
Yes, it is. It is about human compassion and loving your neighbor.
My turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey.
All right, what do you have?
A pastor received a call from a new father. That's not unusual. The father, however, went on to explain that he wanted the pastor to be present when the mother came out from underneath the anesthesia and would be told she had given birth to a beautiful boy, a beautiful baby boy. Well, it would be healthy in every other way, but the new boy, the newborn, didn't have any ears. What a tragedy. And when the pastor arrived, the nervous father and doctor went into the room where the mother lay on her bed, and she recovered after a hard birth. The doctor explained that the baby had openings and all the inner ear parts necessary to receive sounds, but no fleshly part outside that we would commonly call the ear. The doctor assured the parents that the problem would be corrected when the child's growth was completed and that they could find a matching donor. Well, you know, school was tough. School was a tough experience for this little guy. He'd come home crying after the end of the day. "Mom, I'm a freak. I'm a freak. I'm nothing but a freak. I don't have ears." And he was well aware that all day long there were whispers and nicknames and stares given to him by all the other kids. Junior high was the worst part of his growing up experiences, but the young man began to adapt and learn how to live with a head without ears. He became an excellent student, and he entered college on a scholarship, and he studied and studied. One day, his father phoned him and said, "Well, son, we finally found an ear donor for you." "Oh, wow! Plan to come home, because the operation will take place during the summer." The day of the operation came and went on as a rousing success. This young man was so happy, he returned to college in the fall. His new ears were beautiful. His life took on new meaning for him. He graduated with honors, and his parents were so proud of him as he left to take a job in the Midwest. Life was great. Then a call came from his father who said, "Son, your mother, she had a heart attack. Please come right home." The young man, got on the next flight to the airplane and only to learn that his mother had died before his arrival. The next day, at the funeral home, his father walked with him to the casket, where she lay and pushed back his mother's hair to show the son. The mother didn't have any ears. She gave a part of herself to meet her son's need. The love of God is greater even than this mother's love. God gave us more than ears. He gave us his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's it, Gift. That's as good as I can do right now.
Boy, that's tremendous. That's quite a story.
That's a neat story, isn't it?
Oh, I like that.
Wow, who would have ever dreamed?
Yeah, that's right. The love of a mother can't be matched, can it?
Yes. Okay, it's your turn. How are we doing on time? What have we done? We're good?
Yeah. Carla says we're only halfway finished, so we're in good shape.
Okay.
All right. We are quite fortunate to have one of the finest production engineers in the business.
Right.
So
good to have Carla today.
Yes, if our listeners know Carla, let her know that her work is very well appreciated. Carla DeJesus is our engineer, and she very faithfully keeps Dave and I doing the right thing. I have a little story to share with you that, I don't know, I've read it a long, long, long time ago. Maybe our listeners know this story, but I think it's rather stirring, so I'm going to share it with you. Maybe someone didn't hear it. It's a story about a very well-to-do English Baron Fitzgerald. The gentleman was well-to-do, and he only had one child. He had a son, who understandably was the apple of his eye, gave all of his attention to his one and only son, the center of his affection, as you can very well imagine. And he got all of the family attention because it was just the two of them. Well, the son grew up, but in his early teens, his mother died, and Fitzgerald grieved over the loss of the wife, but devoted himself to the son. In the passing of time, the son became very ill as well, and he died also in his late teens, leaving this Baron Fitzgerald all to himself. And he had great financial holdings. Well, the father had used much of his wealth to acquire artworks. And he was known as the master because he had all of the great pieces of art that were available in that area. And with the passing of more time, Fitzgerald himself became ill, and he died. However, previous to his death, he had carefully prepared a will with explicit instructions as how his estate would be settled. He had directed that there would be an auction in which his entire art collection would be sold. That makes sense. Well, because of the quantity and the quality of the art in this collection, it was valued to millions and millions of people. And it drew a huge crowd on the day of the auction that was to be held. And among them, of course, were many museum curators, private collectors, a whole lot of people that were easy to get to, eager to bid on this collection, and anxious to get a piece of this artwork that was being held for him. Well, the artworks were displayed for viewing before the auction began. Among them was one painting, which received very little attention. It was of poor quality and done by an unknown local artist. And it happened to be a portrait of Fitzgerald's only son. Well, when the time came for the auction to begin, the attorney first read from the will of Fitzgerald, which instructed that the first painting to be auctioned off was the painting of my beloved son. The poor quality painting didn't receive any bidders, except one. The only bidder was the son's servant, who had known the son and loved him and served him, and for sentimental reasons, offered the only bid. Well, all of the other people kept saying, get rid of it, give it to him, let's get on with it, let's have the good stuff, gotta get it out here. Well, it turns out that this one bidder, gentleman who was a servant to the household, who loved the son dearly, He bought it for less than a pound. The auctioneer stopped the bidding and asked the attorney to read again from the will. The crowd was hushed, as it was unusual that an attorney would read from the Fitzgerald will. And he read, "Whoever buys my son gets my art collection. The auction is over." Whoever gets the son gets it all. You know, whoever gets Jesus, God's only son, gets it all. It's that simple, and it's that important. If you don't have the Son of God as part of your life, you really have nothing in the end. If you have the Son, you have all that God has to offer. All of this in heaven, too. Whoever gets the Son gets it all. Read 1 John chapter 5 to follow up for more information how it relates to this kind of fascinating story of the artist and his painting of his son.
Somebody got them all.
They've
got the whole gang.
And it was like the caretaker of the family bought it all for a pound.
Good job.
I think that's stirring. I like that old story.
That's wonderful. I have a new idea.
Okay.
Just came to you right now.
Okay.
Why don't we're telling stories.
Yeah.
We got Carla, the engineer over here.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a big smile on her face like, you guys don't know how to tell a story.
And she can out-talk us all.
Well, I think we should give her an opportunity to prove that she can tell a story. Okay?
All right.
Do you have a story? Carla, let me ask you first before I embarrass you to death. Do you have a story that you can tell? Blew our minds?
I might.
Ooh, I might.
I mean, you guys have been telling these wonderful stories, and they're stories of surprise, they're stories of being prepared, they're stories of giving, and they're just wonderful stories, but I think I can tie them all together.
Okay.
So you're going to let me try?
Yes.
Well, I think she's worth a try. Carla's a fantastic lady. If our listeners are saying, hey, are you picking on this lady? We just want you to know that she's an extremely talented person, and we don't pick on her a lot. Maybe a little.
Okay, this is my favorite story.
All right, go ahead.
This is a story about a man. His name was Joe, and Joe inherited $1 million.
Wow.
Now, he inherited, and the will said that he had to accept it either in Chile or Brazil. He chose to accept this money in Brazil. Unhappily, though, it turned out that in Chile, he would have received his inheritance in land, on which uranium, gold, and silver had just been discovered. Once in Brazil, he had to choose between receiving his inheritance in coffee or nuts. Wasn't gold, uranium, or silver, coffee or nuts. He chose nuts. Too bad. The bottom fell out of the nut market, and coffee went up to $1.50 a pound wholesale. Poor Joe. He lost everything he had to his name. He went out and sold his gold watch for the money he needed to fly back home. It seems that he only had enough for a ticket to either New York or Boston. Now here comes another choice, guys. So when the plane, he chose Boston. Now when the plane for New York taxied up, he noticed it was a brand new 747 Super Jet with all the latest technology.
Come on now.
Now the plane for Boston arrived. What do you think it was,
Kip?
It was a 1928 04 Trimotor with a sway back. Oh, Lord. He was bad on choosing. It was filled with crying children and tethered goats and sheep. It seemed like it took all day for this plane to get off the runway. Over the Andes, one of the engines fell out. Our man Joe made his way to the captain and said, "I'm a jinx on this plane. Let me out if you want to save your lives. Give me a parachute." He was having a Jonah experience, right? The pilot agreed, but added, on this plane, anybody who bails out must wear two parachutes. So Joe jumped out of the plane, and he fell through the air, and he tried to make up his mind which ripcord to pull. Oh, Lord.
This guy's having bad luck, isn't he?
Finally, he chose the one on the left. It was rusty and the wire pulled loose. So he pulled the other handle. The chute opened, but its shroud line snapped. In desperation, Joe cried out, St. Francis, help me! A hand reached out of heaven and grabbed the poor man by the waist and let him dangle in midair. Then a gentle but inquisitive voice asked, St. Francis Xavier or St. Francis of Assisi? Oh, Lord. Choices, choices. You know, I had a person tell me one day, life would be just great if I weren't confronted with so many choices. That's my life right now, guys.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah. My friends, you, Giff, and Dave, let me tell you, life is nothing more or less than a series of choices. It's a fantastic power that each of us as human beings have been given. So we should use this power well. It's called choice. And in Joshua 24:15, the Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in the land where you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And every story you guys told was about choices. The beggar with the
yeah.
king, the mother who chose to give to her son, and the artwork. And they yeah. all chose out of love. And so we should make choices out of love and not out of greed.
Ooh. Oh, I like that. Way to go, Carla. I told you she was good.
Man.
Hey, I have one for you.
Good.
You talk about choice. I'm going to give you a good one.
All right. How much time we got?
5 minutes. Okay. We got 5 minutes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Let me share this one because I like this story. And it's a follow-up on Carla's story. Here, she told that one, and that reminded me of one. But it's another one that maybe our listeners have heard. But hey, maybe you haven't. So the guy beside you maybe didn't hear. It's a story of a guy named Blanchard. You know, he was a soldier in basic training in Florida during the World War II. And one evening he wandered into the library and he found a book to read. But there was feminine handwriting in the margin. And it kind of intrigued him. So he turned to the front of the book and found the name of the previous owner. And it was a lady that he didn't know, but she was from New York. So he decided that he would try to follow up with this lady. Apparently she had read this book before. He followed up on it even after he was overseas. And in fact, for months, many, many months, over a year went by, and they corresponded back and forth by letter. They began to write to each other since he found her name and address. And by gollies, as time went by, they began to open up their hearts to each other. And he asked for her picture, to which she refused by saying that, well, if he really loved her, it wouldn't matter what she looked like. Well, finally, the day came when they were to meet in Grand Central Station in New York City. He's finally getting out of the service. And she had instructed, you'll recognize me by the red rose that I'll be wearing in my lapel. Let's let the young sailor or soldier tell you what had happened next. You see, the young woman was coming towards me, he writes in his little notepad, as a beautiful woman, and she was very trim. She was blonde, her eyes were blue as flowers, and her pale green suit as she was like springtime came alive. I started towards her, and forgetting that she was not wearing the rose. And he writes, and then I saw this lady that I was supposed to meet. She was standing behind this beautiful girl, a woman with gray hair, but she wore a red rose in her rumpled brown lapel of her coat. So deep was his longing for the woman whose spirit had captured him that he approached her. There she stood. Her face was gentle and sensible, and her gray eyes in a twinkle, but he didn't hesitate. He said, my hands gripped a small, worn blue leather book, which was to identify me to her. He said, I squared my shoulders and I saluted, and I held out the book to the woman while choking back the bitterness of disappointment. I am Lieutenant Blanchard, and you must be the lady that I've been writing to. Yes, I am glad to meet you. May I take you to dinner? The woman's face broadened into a smile. I don't know what this is about, son, she answered. But the young lady in the green suit, who just went by, asked me to wear this rose. And she said if you were to ask me out for dinner, I should tell you that she is waiting for you. In a large restaurant across the street, she said. She said it's some kind of test. Well, you see, apparently John Blanchard passed the test. Would you? Would you pass the test? A beautiful lady offered herself and smiled gently, and you had an opportunity and you were single. Would you take her up on it? Or would you stick to your original guns and go for that lady with the flower between her teeth or in her hair or on her lapel? And when you had a choice between the beautiful young blonde lady or the gray-haired lady who may not be so appealing. Integrity, a man of your word. That's what that story is all about. You know, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Remember reading all of that about self-control in Galatians chapter 5? It's available there. David, that's a stirring story, and I always like that. As you can well imagine, I know you have another story to tell. But Carla is pointing to me and she's saying, hey, Giff, put a cork in it.
It's over.
Yeah, our time is exhausted. And we enjoy bringing you these heartwarming stories. And we hope that these kinds of illustrations can be an encourager to you to let you know that you're not the only person out here who really cares about their fellow humans. And we do care. And we take the time to show that we are following Jesus' command when we love our neighbor, and we make the choices to take care of one another. But for now, Dave and I have to say bye-bye for now, and we're going to talk to you again real soon, like tomorrow.
Hey, I've enjoyed it so much. I'm anxious about tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.